It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, childcare providers face tough budgets in normal times, and the end of pandemic-era federal funding could lead to a childcare crunch for many families. We'll find out what's at stake. First, Ellen Clark joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations. It's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important. Hey, Ellen.
Hey, and it is so important. And we want to make a big thank you to everyone who has given so far this drive. And the goal this hour is to get 10 gifts. Now, remember, these goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
Love to meet our goals on the first day of the drive. You can help us do it with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, public radio has a really unique funding model. It's really a two-way street that creates a high-quality product. And this is how it works. It's really complicated. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back the programs that are accountable only to you.
That is complicated. I'm writing it down.
Are we okay?
Oh, no, wait. That's actually pretty simple, Ellen, when I think about it. It's a pretty cool system. You get programs worth listening to because you step up and support them.
Mm-hmm.
Make your gift for independent news and info and music and entertainment right now. Help pay for all the stuff you enjoy on WPR with an online gift at WPR.org. Takes just a few minutes, or call 888-202-2552.
And I don't know if you've heard, but today is called $10 Tuesday. I kind of like the sound of it. We'll celebrate your support for Wisconsin Public Radio in style when you ask for the WPR beanie today. It's an olive green cap. It features the WPR logo on a leather patch. It's really pretty cool. So ask for yours when you give $10 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And a little insider information. Take advantage of this first day special right now, because tomorrow it may be a bigger donation for the hat.
Now, I thought that's $10 Tuesday. I get it. I thought $10 Tuesday was for each gift during this hour. Ellen gives Rob 10 bucks. I didn't get that right?
You know, I didn't get that
wishful
memo.
Thinking?
We might have to ask some people.
Let's check with HR on that one, I guess. Hey, maybe you remember listening to Wisconsin Public Radio as a kid, or maybe your own children really enjoy some of the programs here.
Yeah, I know. That's right. Whether it's an interesting story on NPR News, a piece of music, or laughing along with the weekend shows, WPR sparked your imagination as a child, and it engages the minds of many children today.
You make it all possible. When you participate as a member, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And really, giving to WPR is easy, easy, easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
The great thing is that that donation is going to keep coming back to you every day in the form of engaging programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you're able to.
And don't forget, when 10 more people support Wisconsin Public Radio programs in the next 50-ish minutes, we will meet our goal, and we love to meet those goals. WPR is listener-powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Great time to give on this first day of the drive because it's $10 Tuesday. Support WPR. Ask for the WPR beanie hat with your gift of $10 a month or more. This cozy olive green hat features the WPR logo on a leather patch. Ask yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Get it today. You could still get it after today, sure, but this special 10 bucks a day offer, that's today only. It's going to go up starting tomorrow.
That's right. And now is a really great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. If you start that at $10 a month, you could do $10 Tuesday, and away we go. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you know, I want to say, Rachel in McGuanico says, I just love the mix of news and stories. It's such a positive way to learn about the world around us. And I agree with Rachel.
Thank you so much, Rachel. And thanks for giving. How about you? Your gift right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. Governor Tony Evers says he plans on including $340 million in his executive budget proposal for childcare. The money would go to childcare centers around the state through the program Child Care Counts. It would replace federal pandemic funding that's likely to end later this year. Another $11 million per year would go to the Partner Up program, which aims to help employers provide childcare. Evers talked about that program in his State of the State address 2 weeks ago.
Through our Partner Up program, more than 200 employers from Prescott to Trivers are helping make childcare more affordable for their employees. We've also helped stabilize the childcare industry through our monthly childcare counts program, providing the financial stability providers needed to stay open and recruit and retain quality staff to care for our kids.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is this an issue that affects you? Are you a parent who's paying for childcare or trying to find childcare in your area that you can afford? Do you work in childcare or do you run a childcare outfit? What are things like for you? Are you seeing the impact of the federal payments via that pandemic era programming? What would it mean if that went away? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Ruth Schmidt is the executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association and a founding member of Wisconsin Partners. Ruth, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Can you start by telling us what Child Care Counts is, where the money's coming from, and especially what it's doing?
So Child Care Counts is a transformational program that Wisconsin started shortly after COVID, and COVID relief dollars began flowing from the federal government into states across our nation, specifically to support child care. Wisconsin was sort of recognized as being a leader in developing a project called Child Care Counts, which was a mechanism by which the state was able to expedite getting COVID relief funding out the door into bank accounts of child care programs so that they could keep their doors open at a time when many people were taking children out of care, and yet essential workers in Wisconsin still needed that care. Throughout COVID, Child Care Counts has become a lifeline for childcare at a time when workforce issues in our state have become sort of a crisis for childcare. We've seen an exodus of people leaving this field, in part because of really competitive wages in other industries. So Childcare Counts has been absolutely vital in ensuring that our state has been able to keep childcare open, operating, and childcare programs have been able to pay their staff a more competitive wage.
I want to take a look at the childcare picture. Even before COVID, Ruth, we talked about it on this show. The impression I get was costs were pretty high for parents when they could find childcare. The people doing the job weren't getting paid a lot. And the people running these businesses were on pretty tight margins. They weren't getting rich in the middle. Is that about right? We had this kind of tight situation even pre-COVID?
That is absolutely correct. In simple terms, we call it sort of a broken business model. In other businesses that operate in a free market kind of manner, if you need more revenue to come in, you raise what you're charging people. In childcare, for them to bring in the revenue they need to pay competitive wages to their workforce. And when I'm saying competitive, let's just set the stage a little bit. In childcare, the average wages are about $11 to $13 an hour. So we are not talking huge investments of money into this workforce. We're just saying we need to be paying enough to be competitive and keep people in this field and not going into other types of work. And so in childcare programs simply cannot raise the rates that they charge working families because working families are tapped out. Average family is spending upwards of 20 to 30% of their household income on childcare for one child. Infant care in Wisconsin runs at least $12,000 a year. And many families simply cannot afford to take on higher payments. So Childcare Counts has been a mechanism that allows childcare programs to get additional revenue so that they can keep their classrooms open and provide this incredible, necessary public good in communities across our state.
So we've got this Child Care Counts in Wisconsin now, thanks to the federal funding that's going away, as I understand it, most likely by the end of the year. Now, if that goes away, it isn't replaced at the state level, what do you see happening? Do we go back to that precarious pre-COVID situation, or do we end up, you know, worse even than 2019?
Yeah, I mean, so there is some data that we know about this. There have been surveys that have been done of the early care and education industry. And in Wisconsin, we know that about 60% of childcare programs are saying that if there is not ongoing funding for childcare counts, they will need to raise tuition rates when this money is gone. And so what this means for the average family is that we could see rates climbing 10, 20, 30%, which, you know, in dollars and cents, you're talking in another $80 a month for a working family to cover the cost of that care so that it replaces the revenue that currently is coming in through these federal dollars. And families just don't have that in their budgets to do it. And yet we cannot ask childcare to figure out how to pay their people and keep their doors open without this important revenue. So it is slated to end in January 2024, unless we are able to build off of what Governor Evers is proposing in terms of ongoing funding from state revenue into this important program.
We're talking with Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, looking at the impact of state-funded child care support as a federal boost in funding is expected to end, as you just heard, at the beginning of next year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent who has a kid in child care or would like to, are you able to find a child care center? Are you able to find one you can afford? How big a hit is it in your budget? If you are a child care worker or left the profession, love to hear from you with your experience, what you saw, or if you operate a child care center. And Governor Evers, as we said, looking to replace that federal funding in the state budget. He's expected to talk about that in his budget address tomorrow night. Do you want to see that happen? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our conversation with Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, about what a lack of funding for child care centers could mean for Wisconsin. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Love to hear about your experience working in child care, providing it, or seeking it as a parent. Are you finding what you're looking for? How big a budget hit is it for you? Speaking of budget, do you want to see state money going toward these child care centers to replace federal money that's going to dry out at the end of this year? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ruth, apart from keeping the status quo up, I was looking at a map of what one national group calls child care deserts. And wow, a lot of places in Wisconsin have that. Just not enough child care for the local kid population. Rural areas, some suburbs, some urban areas. How big a problem is this?
It's a huge problem. In Wisconsin, we know at least 50% of our communities are considered child care deserts. What that means is there's more than three children under the age of five with all available parents in the workforce who need care for every one slot of care that is in a community. So there is, in rural areas, we see this number go up to 70% of our communities are child care deserts. And what we know right now, when we talk to childcare programs and look at survey data coming out of childcare, 50% of childcare programs in Wisconsin right now are indicating that they could serve more children if they could hire staff to fill the vacancies that they have. And so I think it ties in really nicely with this issue of childcare deserts, and those deserts are going to continue to grow. Unless we find a way to help financially support this industry, no one gets rich off of childcare. If there were money to be made in this field, we wouldn't have the shortage of care that we have. So this is an issue that we really need to build public support for, and we need to get the public will to actually invest in it, because it lifts all families in all communities.
Let's bring on a caller now. Thomas is with us in Madison. Hi, Thomas.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what did you want to tell us about?
So I am a first-time parent, I've got an 8-month-old at home, and with the cost of childcare for newborns, like you were saying, at $12,000 a year, my wife and I were deciding as to who's going to go back to work. And after going through our budget, we decided it was in our best interest for her to just stay home out of the workforce for the year and do childcare ourselves, as her going back full time would barely cover the cost of childcare in the first place.
Thomas, congratulations. Sorry about the high cost, though. And Thomas and his family not alone, Ruth. I think a lot, I mean, I did that when I had young kids, make that calculation. Does it make economic sense to have everybody work full time given the cost of the childcare?
So the one thing I would say on, there's a couple different angles to this question, and it's a great question, important for many families to consider, especially if you're fortunate to be a two adult household with children. In many cases, it's a single parent. And the one thing I would say is that our economy right now, what we hear from business leaders, economic leaders, workforce leaders across the state of Wisconsin, is we need more people in the workforce for our state to continue to be productive and to have a strong economy. And we know that Wisconsin exceeds the national average with babies with moms in the workforce by over 10%. Wisconsin is a work state. We have businesses that rely on people being able to show up for work. And the fact that we end up in more and more situations, the caller was fortunate to be able to make that decision. Not all families can make that decision. And again, how we need people in this workforce, I think, is the other piece of this equation. We need parents to be working.
Thanks for the call, Thomas. Time for one more caller. Marshall is with us in Madison. Marshall, hi.
Hello and good afternoon. I have been in and around children my entire life. My mom worked in the school district. My wife is a preschool educator. And what I have found is we are on almost no clock at this point. People are going to be required to have kids because they aren't allowed to have abortive care. We're going to have kids we're not expecting to have. They're going to go through a system of childcare that's not prepared for them. They're going to enter a school system that's not prepared for them. And in amongst all of that, a healthcare system that's not prepared to have that explosion of kids. And if we're going to have, like, this is going to be a problem that's just going to add pain onto pain onto pain. And we have to educate them from the start so that we're not picking up pieces as we go.
Marshall, thanks for the call. Ruth, as we wrap up, can you talk about the role of childcare, not just in, you know, caring for the children, but having them be ready, as Marshall says, for school?
Yeah, I mean, childcare definitely is the beginning of our education system. Parents are the first teachers, obviously, but childcare takes it up right away and prepares kids to be able to be learners, lifelong learners in our education system. I do think that the points that Marshall brought up are critical. You know, Dobbs does have an impact on the need for childcare and the need for us to have public investments in it so that all children born into the state of Wisconsin have access to high quality care.
Marshall, thanks for the call. And Ruth, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, founding member of Wisconsin Partners. She joined us to talk about childcare funding here in Wisconsin. Coming up next, an economist tells us about wage gaps in the United States and how some of them are actually getting bigger over time. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Ellen Clark joins me. Your gift right now is super important because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Central Time and all the stuff you listen to are possible thanks to your support. Give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we've got about 30 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 9 more people to join in. And thank you if you've already given. And Rob, I'm going to say that the calls are not coming in on this right now because we are listening in on such interesting conversation.
That's right. I mean,
right?
It is, yeah, you don't want to. You didn't want to cut away from the conversation.
Who wanted to break away from that? Well,
Well, good news. We're giving you a pause now, a couple few minutes, where you can make that online gift or call in. You can make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Again, 888-202-2552. Then you're going to fund future awesome conversations.
That's right. And I mean, right, Rob and his guests, they're helping us understand the lack of childcare funding for those programs could make some really big and possibly damaging consequences ahead. And these are the kinds of conversations that you can always, always count on from Rob and the Central Time team.
WPR is listener supported. That means your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
That's right. You support the programs you count on, and we'd love for you to become a sustainer. Doing that, you make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or your credit card.
Month by month, you'll be supporting the programs you love, and that will feel great. So pick an amount that works for you, say $10 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you listen in because you appreciate the civil conversations that we have. You value respect, even when people disagree.
You welcome news, talk, and entertainment that meets a higher standard. You get all that, all the time, on Wisconsin Public Radio. Support what you value. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, when 9 more people support Wisconsin Public Radio programs in the next half hour, we will meet our goal. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
And it's $10 Tuesday. Give 10 bucks a month or more. Ask for your WPR beanie. It's olive green. It'll show off your public media pride wherever you go, whatever you wear it. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The cool kids love these things, as I understand it. I'm not one of them. Make your gift now. Support the radio you count on. It really does make a difference. Online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Up next, an economist shares 6 facts about gaps in wealth and income here in the United States. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Ellen Clark joins me now. Your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the biggest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Step up now, be counted as a supporter with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are chipping away at that goal. 8 more people. We need 8 more people to join in the next 25 minutes, and we will meet that goal. Do not forget that these hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy, like Central Time. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here on Central Time, you get a better understanding of the news and learn about interesting and important topics, things like the child care conversation, some big changes maybe coming in Wisconsin without some action, really interesting up-close look at the lives lived by people with mental illness and how they talk about that and describe it to others around them, and, of course, great cooking advice on Food Friday. Central Time is your go-to place for informative and interesting afternoons.
It sure is, and your financial support is a big part of what makes these hours possible. Listener support is the biggest piece of our funding here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Make a contribution right now. Help us out at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is February 14th. Love is in the air, including love of public media. Media, and you've been on our minds, by the way. WPR is committed to presenting you with a wide array of offerings. You feel informed and inspired each and every day.
And the variety of programming that you enjoy on air and online is possible because of people like you generously stepping up to support it. If you've never given before, make your declaration of love for comprehensive news coverage, compelling conversations, and educational entertainment with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive supports the programs you love in style with the new WPR beanie. This cozy olive green hat features the WPR logo on a leather patch. We asked a few people where they'd wear their new hat.
I plan to wear my beanie when I'm walking around campus and it's super cold.
I would probably wear it out disking because it is getting a little cold out there, but, you know, I gotta get out and throw.
I would be proud to wear my WPR beanie on the bus when I'm commuting to work.
This new WPR beanie is only available for $10 a month today, $10 Tuesday. So ask for yours when you give now. Here's how.
Support public radio. Get that hat at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this winter member drive. It is Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Ellen Clark. The WPR programs you enjoy are all possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a huge difference for our entire community.
It sure does. And today is a day to show your friends and loved ones how much you care. And we want to share our appreciation for you. If you make annual contributions or sustain WPR with ongoing monthly gifts, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you. Together, we make WPR a powerful resource for daily information, connection, and inspiration for the whole state of Wisconsin and beyond.
If you haven't given yet, join tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Together, we're stronger.
We sure are. And what do you spend $10 on? Roses, chocolates, cookies? Going with a theme here. These are all things that make your day better, just like Wisconsin Public Radio. And with a gift of $10 a month, you can make a difference for the public service you rely on.
When you support WPR, you join a community of 50,000 people who give what they can for the programs they value. Join them now. Give $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you. Every gift makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a reminder, 8 more people we're looking for to support the programs in the next 20 minutes, and we will meet our goal.
WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift now makes a difference. Do it now. Got $10 Tuesday. Grab that WPR beanie today only when you give $10 a month or more. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Do it today. Beanies will still be here tomorrow, but you'll have to give a little more to get them.
Mm-hmm. And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's really easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can get that started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we want to thank Barbara in DeForest. She said, "I so appreciate the mature, professional tone of the WPR hosts." I think she's talking to you, Rob.
I was going to say, keep going. I assume she said, except for Rob.
There must be other names.
People say nice things. Like mature and professional. I don't know. I don't get that. But thank you. If you're talking about me, Barbara, I'll take it. Thank you so much. And thank you, most importantly, for giving. How about you join Barbara with your gift for great public radio at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Our next guest says to understand inequality in the United States, we have to think like an economist. There are big wage divides in the U.S. by race and gender, for example, and there's a growing gap between people at the top income level and those in the middle. In his new book, our guest weighs the impact of discrimination, changes in technology, globalization, and more, and points to some solutions. Jeffrey Sanzenbacher is an associate professor of the practice of economics and a research fellow at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. His new book is The Six Facts That Matter, Understanding Inequality in the United States. Jeff, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, thanks so much for having me back.
You wrote a book about inequality. You teach about it. As an economist, why is it important to you to focus in on this subject?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's really two reasons. I mean, one is that we see the consequences of rising inequality in a lot of things we don't think about as being economic. So, for example, falling marriage rates, I think, have the root in economic inequality. Things like higher mortality rates among lower and middle income men, especially, have the roots in economic inequality. So I think for that reason, you know, we care. It spills over to other parts of life. And then I also think just as a citizen, we want people to have a fair shot. And I think when we talk about things like racial inequality, gender inequality, inequality across generations, we just don't feel like people are getting that. And so I think those are the two reasons, you know, I really care about it.
Before we dig into the six facts, you're illustrating, you're highlighting points about inequality. Also, I think, try to educate us a little bit about economics along the way. The term human capital comes up in many of the six facts you talk about. What does that mean?
Yeah, human capital is a really fancy term economists have for things that make you better at work. So things like formal education, a college degree, things like work experience or training you get on your job. These are all things that act like regular capital. You make an investment in yourself, and then you reap the returns of that investment, hence the term capital. So it's investments people make in themselves.
All right. Point one of your 6 points is the falling middle. Now we see economic growth long term. The GDP goes up over time, not necessarily distributed equally at all elements of the income scale. What do you find when you look at who benefits over time?
Yeah, if you look at growth in real GDP per capita in the U.S. over the last 45 years, you've seen that that's roughly doubled in real terms. So even accounting for inflation. Yet if you look at like the middle income male worker, they've seen no real income growth. So none of that growth has really gone to them. And instead, it's gone up the ladder, much further up the ladder. Even if you look at the very top of male earners, you don't see growth that's consistent with economic wide growth. And so it's really going to that top 1% of all earners. And so that's the first fact I really talk about.
Let's talk a little bit about why that is. And then this ends up being kind of a point of comparison for the other gaps as well. One part of the story you say is technology and the way we've mechanized many workplaces. How is that affecting, how is that holding back people in the middle in particular?
Yeah, things like automation and robots, those tools are really good at doing things that are a little bit routine, jobs that require doing something similar over and over again. And it just turns out that those jobs were jobs that tended to be pretty solid middle-class jobs. So if you think the stereotypical example is working on an assembly line at an auto plant, that's a challenging job, but it is a job that can be automated. And that's exactly the kind of job that has been. You know, a computer is good at, doing something again and again, but it really has trouble adjusting to change. And so, a job like that, that's the kind of thing that a computer can do pretty well.
And at the lower level of income, I hadn't thought of it this way. A computer's not very good at mopping a floor. There's a lot of like weird variables there as opposed to that assembly line. So the middle ends up being hurt. And then why are the people at the top doing so well?
Yeah, the people at the top, I read this funny thing about, there was this big deal in this Amazon warehouse. They invented this robot, and it was a big deal because the robot could maneuver around people, which is also something like a four-year-old person can do. But for a robot, that's really hard. People at the upper level are the people that invent those things. And so they benefit from all these technological changes that kind of can replace people that are squarely in the middle. And so the people that are at the top are inventing those things that do that type of work.
Technology isn't the only part of this falling middle. Globalization and bargaining power. Can you touch on those?
Yeah, it's almost like, it's just a bunch of individual things that all work in the same direction and hold the same group of people's wages down. Globalization, what America has in abundance is a highly educated workforce relative to other countries. So when it trades with other countries, that's who tends to benefit. Those countries want our highly educated workforce, and that's what they get. What those countries have in abundance are workers that can produce things that might have slightly less education. And so those people compete with our workers in that sphere. And so those workers in the U.S. that have less education, those are exactly the ones that are affected by this. And so, again, it's this kind of dual force. You have globalization, you have technology both hurting those workers. And then when you talk about declining bargaining power, it's really hard to ask for a raise if you're worried about a robot replacing you. And so, or if you're worried about a worker in another country replacing you. And so those two things work together to result in something like declining unionization, where it's really hard to go in to your boss and say, hey, can I have a raise? And there's a robot, standing behind your boss. That's a little bit ridiculous, but you get the idea.
Talking to Jeffrey Sanzenbacher, his new book is called The Six Facts That Matter, Understanding Inequality in the United States. Jeffrey, let's dig into a couple of the more specific points here. A gender gap. We know this has been around a long time. Some good news and then some less good news, which is a theme in your book in a lot of ways. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, if you were to follow the gender wage gap from 1975 to the year 2000, there was tremendous progress. And it went from women making 60% of what men make to 80% of what men make. And, as an economist, it's like my contractual duty, if I say something good, to say something bad. I can't always be positive. And so the problem is that it's been 80% since the year 2000. So it's been two decades of just nothing really happening on the gender wage gap. You know, and the reason is for that span of time when things were getting better, women were just rapidly getting more educated. Women were rapidly gaining more work experience. Women were rapidly entering fields they'd never been in before. And then around 2000, that particular brand of progress slowed down, and we're kind of left with some remaining sources of inequality. And the big one is that women still tend to do the majority of things like childcare. You know, I heard when I was listening in the background, I heard that there seems to be something going on in Wisconsin with respect to funding for childcare. And that's really scary, because I think one of the things that really helps women workers make their lives easier is having a good option for childcare and lets them catch up to men. You know, having damage to that is going to hurt women the most.
And then a racial gap, again, I think no surprise to people, and as you write, not as much progress as we might have expected to see over the years. There's a lot of reasons behind that. Can you highlight a couple of the main ones?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I when I first saw the figure, I was like, I must have made a mistake, because the racial wage gap, you know, for men was 25%. In 1975, it's still 25%. There's two big reasons for that. There is still discrimination in labor markets. And that discrimination probably accounts for a third of that gap. And the other two thirds is because Black people to this day, Black people have made a lot of progress with respect to education and catching up to white people over the last 40 years. But the remaining gap is much, much more damaging because of the issues I talked about earlier. And so the fact that Black workers still, on average, have less education than white workers means that they've been even more hurt by trends like automation, trends like globalization, and the loss of bargaining power have just hurt Black individuals more than they've hurt white individuals. And so, you know, you've had progress on the one front, education, but you one step forward, one step back. The problem is that having less education is even more damaging than it used to be.
I want to spend a little time on some of your solutions. Spoiler alert, you say there are no quick and easy magic solutions, but you do have some suggestions. Policy-wise, where would you start?
You know, one of the big things, I think, if you think about the gender gap and the racial gap, I think one big thing that could help address both is doing a better job in the U.S. on universal childcare and universal pre-K. There is just lots and lots of evidence that having high quality, you know, pre-kindergarten has huge benefits later on in life for individual people, and especially people who start out their lives with less income. And also, there's lots of evidence suggesting that the best way to help women close the wage gap on men is by making it easier to be a woman worker if that's what someone wants to be. And so making childcare better in the U.S., I think, is a really important thing to do to address both of these issues. So that's one thing. The other thing I think on the race front especially is that we have a very segregated society, and that matters because where you live determines a lot about how much your income can go up later in life. And so making sure that people have the ability to move to areas that maybe have more opportunity if they want to. So areas perhaps with more resourced public schools. Right now, we do a really bad job of that. A lot of places actively keep lower income people out through exclusionary zoning policies that make it hard to build multifamily housing. Those kinds of policies, you know, they're not directly racial, but they really are, because they're targeting people with less income. And as I just said, those people tend on average to be more likely to be Black.
Another of your solutions that I hadn't really encountered before on the falling middle and mechanization of workplaces. You talk about the tax codes, and if I own a workplace, if I invest in labor, I'm paying taxes at one level. If I invest in machinery, maybe less. What's going on?
Yeah, there's some really good work by some economists recently that point out that we've made the tax code a lot more favorable to capital recently in a couple ways. One of them is we've made the corporate tax rate lower. The Trump administration's tax cuts did that. We've also made depreciation allowances nicer, so that when capital depreciates, you get a big tax break. Those things have made it so that there's an incentive to hire capital. And so we've all been on the phone with like a robotic customer service rep and thought to ourselves, like, that is not better than a person. Like, you know, it's extremely irritating. You know, just sometimes you want to toss the phone across the room. And, you know, that doesn't make sense, because we think, well, if a person's better at the job, they should be doing the job. And yet, because it's in some ways cheaper to hire capital, and one of the reasons it's cheaper is because our government is favoring capital, that just gives incentives to replace workers with even subpar capital, like that robotic customer service rep.
Jeff, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's Jeffrey Sanzenbacher, Associate Professor of the Practice of Economics at Boston College. He joined us to talk about his new book. It's called The Six Facts That Matter, Understanding Inequality in the United States. Now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Ellen Clark joins me now to remind you that listeners, that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. This sub-member drive, day one, first day of the drive, your chance to support all the programs that you enjoy. So give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we would love for you to give right now. We've got a couple of minutes left this hour. We're looking for seven more people to join in. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy, like Central Time, and you rely on every single day.
WPR programs are listener-powered. That means your donation right now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in that last segment, we learned that understanding economic inequality in the United States can be really, really complicated. But I think Rob and his guest just made it a little easier to understand. Racial and gender wage gaps, that is really an important topic for all of us to understand. And these are the kinds of conversations we can count on every day from Rob and the Central Time team.
WPR is listener supported. That means your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and your budget, and then make your gift.
And remember, it's $10 Tuesday. Support the programs you love in style with the new WPR beanie when you give $10 a month or more. It sounds like it's a cozy and it's olive green hat. It's got your favorite accessory. It can be your favorite accessory. Ask for yours right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in now. $10 Tuesday. Tomorrow, the beanie, it'll still be available, but it might be for a higher donation.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Give online at WPR.org or make a quick phone call to 888-202-2552. It is pivotal. Day one of the Winter Member Drive. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Ellen Clark. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for your favorite Wisconsin public radio programs. That is why your gift right now, $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, has a really big impact.
It sure does. The programs you hear on WPR make a difference in your life. That's why you're listening right now and why you listen every single day. During this winter member drive, we're asking you to support your radio home.
Listeners who value public radio give what they can to support it. That's how it all works. If you're already a member, thank you for making Wisconsin Public Radio possible. If you're not a member yet, today is the day to become one. Make your first ever gift. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $10 a month. Give the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. And at Wisconsin Public Radio, that is one place where that is true every single day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the programs you love.
It's hard to buy a lot for $2, but at WPR, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. Works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when seven more people join in to support the programs in the next few minutes, we will meet that goal. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
A reminder, it's $10 Tuesday. Well, what's $10 Tuesday, you're asking? It's when you make a gift of $10 a month or more in support of WPR today, which is Tuesday, Mm-hmm. Ask for a WPR beanie. And this is a, this is this olive green hat. It'll show off your public media support wherever you go. You can ask for it right now. So that amount's going to go up tomorrow. That's the $10 part. $10 Tuesday, today only. Give 10 bucks a month or more. Grab that Wisconsin Public Radio hat. Grab yours online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Ellen, first day of the drive, hoping to get a big finish to this hour, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And if you're a sustainer, thank you, thank you, thank you. Maybe make today the day you can increase your support by $5 or $10. Help us meet that goal, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. And Freya in Madison says, I've been working from home a lot, and I leave WPR on for my puppy. We have enjoyed so much great content together.
Freya, thanks so much for giving. Glad you're listening. Glad your puppy is listening. And hey, you, I am glad you're listening. That's what makes it all worthwhile. It makes me feel really glad to do this job, to know you're out there. You're part of the community when we do this show. And you can support us in another way today by making your gift and keeping this coming to you each and every day in the future. Make that gift right now online at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.